Can you hear me now? I love modern technology. Anyway, I don't have to preach. She just did my whole message right there. And seriously, what she's talking about, that's what every one of us are supposed to do every day. And sometimes we don't feel adequate or like we're able to. But my message today, seriously, is right what Chris just told us about. And I really do feel God laid it on my heart to share with you. First off, this is the first Sunday of January. It's the first Sunday of this decade. And everybody always starts off with New Year's resolutions. I'm going to lose 50 pounds. I'm going to look like Johnny Cash. And all of those are totally pointless, as you can tell. But I've got two that I want to really challenge us with, every one of you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. The first one being, read your Bible every day and try to do it the whole thing, cover to cover, like Chip would say, from Genesis to the maps, this year. If you read three chapters of the Old Testament and one chapter of the New Testament every day, you'll read it cover to cover in a year. And that's reading a small enough amount, you won't get brain damage. If you get too much more than that, you might hurt yourself. But that's the first resolution, and that is a spiritual discipline that has awesome results. And the second one is pray every single day, and maybe just before you read your Bible and just after. And I've heard of people surviving praying 20 times a day. But I want to challenge us as a church, as what are we called? Celebration Church, to all of us read our Bible this year. It's God's Word. It's feeding us spiritually. You can't get looking like this without eating. We can't get spiritually strong without eating God's Word. So I challenge us, and I'm going to do it too. The daily bread that Drew was just telling us about, if at the top of every page, it tells you where to be to read it in a year. Three chapters of the old and one chapter of the new. And God will talk to you. He really will. And it's important when you start reading it. Psalms 119:105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Psalms 119:11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God." Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us come boldly before the throne of grace, that we might find mercy and help in the time of need." When we're reading God's word, when we're talking to Him every day, to where we're comfortable talking to Him, where, "Lord, it's Gary again, I need some help." Believe me and him talked this morning, "Lord, please just give me 15 minutes without coughing." But you will. All of us will. We'll get comfortable talking to God when we're praying to Him all the time. So there's my challenge. But that's not the sermon. Sorry. Now I'm going to get on to the other stuff. We read a statement, Lisa and I, the other day that really speaks. It says, as we read our Bible, we open our heart, mind, and spirit for God to come into our lives. And we have to make the decision to pick it up and open it and start reading it. But when we do that, God and His Holy Spirit will enter our lives and make a difference. As we do it, it will teach us more who we are in Christ. If you remember back over the last several months, that's been the theme, who we are as people in Christ, who we are as a church in Christ. I'm going to do, and I've got a verse to back every one of these statements up, but for time's sake, I'm not going to read them all. But this is who we are in Christ. We're a new creation. We are reconciled to God. We're a child of God. We're no longer a slave of sin. We're forgiven of all of our sins. We're washed, sanctified, and justified. We're the righteousness of God. We're at peace with God. We're being transformed into the likeness of Christ. And we're joint heirs with Christ. And we're chosen and loved by God. Chosen and loved by God. and we're gifted by God to serve others. And we're destined to look upon the face of Christ and someday be like him. Those are all facts right out of the Bible. And every one of us in here, if we've accepted Christ, that's what we are. So I want to pause just for a second and think, each one of us, think what we are in Christ. And while we're thinking of that, I want to read a couple verses here. And you've all heard these, but it's really important. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. If each of us in here will exhort one another, we come together to worship God. And that's the other thing we got to remember. When we're sitting in here, we're not serving God, we're worshiping him. When we're inside this sanctuary, we come here to worship him. We serve him out there, outside the sanctuary. But when we assemble like this, we can lift each other up. We can exhort each other to provoke unto love and good works. And if you look at Celebration Church, I really do. I just stand in awe of this church. We're a living example of a New Testament church 2,000 years later. We don't have a pastor. Last week or 2 weeks ago, we had 3 baptisms. The crowds, people are still coming, visiting. We had the children's play, 47 or 48 kids, and a lot of those kids weren't from our church. We're reaching the community for God. And that's amazing. But that's how they did it in the New Testament. They didn't have pastors, preachers. So we're amazing what we're doing, but we can do so much more if we set out to do it. So I've got some ideas. Last week, Dave talked about gifts. And in reading the Bible, last week, Lisa and I finished Revelations. And Dave talked about the gift of prophecy. And in today's world, prophecy, that's kind of a scary word. But in Revelation 19:10, let me read this to you. It's here. I know it is. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said to me, "See thou that you do not worship me, for I am your fellow servant and thy brethren, and have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." I've read that seriously at least 30 times, and that never stuck out to me before, that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. When we go out and share Jesus, we are being a prophet. We're pointing them, and just like Dave said, we're pointing them to their Savior. And every one of us can do that. And it doesn't have to be some deep theological truth. It can be when they sneeze, "Bless you, God bless you." And if they ask, "What do you mean?" But when we share Jesus, we are being a prophet. In the New Living Translation, it says the testimony of Jesus is the essence of prophecy. Every one of us, that I want to challenge us, share Jesus. And we're using the gift of prophecy by sharing Jesus. And all of a sudden, it's not such a scary word. It's pointing people to what the Bible talked about from clear back from Genesis, the Jesus. So that just really, really stuck in my mind, that something so scary could be so simple. Every one of us feel inadequate when it comes time to go share our faith, or lead someone to the Lord, or jail ministry, or whatever it is, homeless ministry, celebrate recovery. We feel inadequate. Psalms 31, 23, and I was going to have Matt put these on, But then I thought, you know, I really should get everybody to open their Bible too and look these up. And then I'm not giving you time to do it. But Psalms, and if you've got your Bible, turn there. It's Psalms 31, verse 23 and 24. It says, O love the Lord, all you his saints, for the Lord preserves the faithful and plentifully rewards the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you that hope in the Lord. When you set out, if it's to witness to your neighbor, if it's to send a Christian card to a family member who doesn't believe and hoping they'll respond to you, look on that. Be of good courage, and God will strengthen your heart as long as you're hoping in him. And if you're looking for that chance, Lord, I want to share my faith with somebody. If you're looking for that chance, he'll make it happen for you. And that's what I want to challenge us as a church to do, is to get this burden in our heart for the lost. I think it was Drew brought a statistic, 72% of Montrose County is unchurched. Wasn't that it, or something like that? I mean, just a phenomenal number. If every church in our county was full, three services on Sunday, we wouldn't reach half of the unchurched people here. If each of us will, one person, if each of us gets one person to come to church with us, and especially an unchurched person, a seeker that's looking for God, we'd have to go to two services right quick. Look in here right now. We're close to full. So, but to do this, and that's what I would title this message, is we need to examine ourselves. We need to look between us and God, because we don't have anything to prove to each other. We stand before God. I'm going to stand before God and give an account of what I've done, and so are each of you. And it'll be between you and God. So in 2 Corinthians 13:5, if you've got that, if you got your Bible, look that up. 2 Corinthians 13:5. It says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own self. And the rest of it is even a little harsher. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? But now I pray that we're not reprobates. That's Paul talking to us there, but he's telling us, each one of us need to look in our own heart. What really do I believe? Not because what a pastor preached to me, not because what Gary said, or I heard on a TV preacher, whatever it is. What do I believe, and why do I believe it? If you watch the news, excuse me, this world is dark, and getting further from God every single day. But we got to live here, every one of us. I saw a really neat thing on Facebook this morning. It talks about living in this world but not letting it get into us, and it talks about a ship lives on the ocean, but it does everything it can to keep that ocean out of it, because if the ocean gets in, it's sinking. If the world gets into us, we're sinking. But we've still got to live here, so we've got to examine ourselves. How strong do I feel about this? And this is where it is. This is hard preaching, what's coming up next. Last week in Nigeria, 9 Christians were beheaded because they wouldn't recite the Muslim creed. Every one of us in here, look into our own heart. If that happened, what would I do? And our upbringing, I would go ahead and recite it, and I'd ask forgiveness later, and that way I'd still be alive and I could go do more good for Jesus. And that's not at all what the Bible says. Look at Revelation 2, 10 and 11. it says, "Fear none of those things which you'll come to suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you'll be tried, and you'll have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life." What do you think Jesus would have us do if that happened to us? And that's hard preaching. And we can justify it 100 ways not to go ahead and be killed. But those 9 Christians had examined themselves. And they're in heaven now. So, I pray that none of us ever have to face that. But the world we're living in, it's coming. It is coming to America. And we've got to be ready, which is going to require examine ourselves. Celebration is working on our corporate prayer time. And it is so important. And at first, it was awkward. This silence. You know, let's all pray about this, and then this silence. But have you noticed it's not awkward anymore? And another thing, when we're doing this, if you listen to that still small voice, he's there. The Holy Spirit is right in here with us when we're doing that. If somebody's name or somebody's face pops into your mind during that time, pray for them. That's the Holy Spirit nudging you. And the more we do this and the more comfortable we become doing this, we're talking straight to God as a body, not just one person talking to God for us, but we're corporately, and God can. He can understand every one of us at the same time in spades. It's no problem for him to do that. But when we start learning to do that and getting comfortable with praying to God as a body, it's going to have huge results, and it already is. That's, in my opinion, that's why we're still in unity. With no pastor, we're right here. We're still going forward doing the King's business, and I think that corporate prayer has a lot to say. In 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 5, that's 5 verses. I can do math as well as preach. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 5. "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ." When we're praying, excuse me, when we're praying corporately that way, it's, to me, it's totally fine to pray big. Lord, fill this place up next Sunday. Every chair, let us be standing in the hallway, and he can do it. And we've got to remember, success of a church is not full chairs and big offerings. Success of a church is enlarging the kingdom. New believers, people that were headed for hell, are now attending church and believing God and sharing their faith. And we can do that. And it's going to happen from the corporate prayer time, I think. A couple of our ladies were in jail yesterday morning, Lisa and Jackie. They got out on good behavior. But talking how that still small voice, they were doing a lesson, and they talked about when Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, and they had to come back and get him, and they were frantic. And they were teaching about the parent being frantic, but teaching about Jesus and knowing what he's doing. But that still small voice, one of these girls in there starts crying and afterwards asks, "Jackie, would you please call my mom and tell her I'm okay?" And that still small voice we can all hear it, and we never know what direction it's going to come from. We just want to be listening. So this challenge is mainly that we would pray for God to put a burning burden on each one of our hearts for Montrose, for our family, for our circle of influence, but for, there's, you know, now thousands. There's 15,000 in the city and 40,000 in the county or something like that. It's big. I want to challenge us for Celebration Church to develop a burden for our area. We can reach Montrose City and County easily. And we've got an awesome facility here. And God can pay this thing off and have it where we have use of the whole facility all the time. He can, and He will. But each one of us, as individual Christians, need to develop this burden in our heart and have it burning there. We've started, and I think it's really cool, Celebration. Now we've got the Facebook thing, and I saw, I don't know if it's Jackie, but it was on Facebook, said, starting this week, Celebration is teaching Hallelujah 1 through 7, or I don't remember what it said, but that reaches a lot of people, and that's awesome. But I want to challenge every person here right now, next week, bring somebody to church with you, the old-fashioned way. Invite them. You come listen to our church. Just, and, you know, obviously that's not going to happen all at once, but if each one of us brought one person to church, and especially an unchurched person, somebody that's seeking, what do you think Celebration could do? And especially if we've got good, sound preaching, teaching them to accept Christ and then go out and create a disciple themselves. we can do this. So whoever will listen to you, if you're at the grocery store and the guy picking up the baskets, hey, do you go to church anywhere? Would you like to come to church with me next Sunday? it honestly can be something that simple. And sometimes they're dumbfounded. They've never been asked, well, yeah, where do you go to church? But that's truly how the New Testament church did it. They didn't have Facebook. Those people went out to the people they were around and invited them to church. And then let the Holy Spirit take it from there. If we do our part, God will do His. We've got to share that God loves every one of us, and He doesn't want anybody to be lost, just like 1 Timothy just said there. Sometimes that's not enough. Sometimes we've got to be bold enough to say, you have to understand, if you die without accepting Christ, you are going to hell, period. No do-overs. And sometimes that's what it takes. Somebody has got to step back, but it's a fact that I'm no theologian, but to me, the unforgivable sin in the Bible is just that. The blasphemy of the Holy against the Holy Spirit is turning Him down and dying. If you die before you accept Him, you're not going to heaven, which means you're going to hell. I never like to witness that way. That's like fire insurance. But some people, that's what it takes to break through, to understand that it is real. And that's where we got it when we're reading our Bible and praying. Lord, give me the boldness and the wisdom to know how to approach somebody if you're trying to share your faith. a key statement. Someday, every knee is going to bow to Jesus. Every person on the planet. Why not accept Him now as your Savior instead of later as your judge? Because you're going to bow. We all are going to bow someday. And to me, that's an absolute last resort. But it is a fact. So we got to share. I'm looking around here. I pray everyone in here is saved, does know Jesus. But if there's someone that doesn't, don't leave today without being sure. It's so simple. And there's so many people that will pray with you to accept the Lord if you haven't done that yet. But for those of us who have, here are some good ways to serve God that we need. And that's how we're going to reach this Montrose and the surrounding area. We need Sunday school teachers. We need children's church teachers. We need nursery teachers. We need youth leaders. We need men's ministry. We need women's ministry. We need a senior ministry. We need jail ministry. We need nursing home ministry. A homeless ministry. Celebrate Recovery needs help. The Gideons need help. The prayer ministry, we've got a couple working on that. Excuse me. But I want to ask each of you to pray. Could I step up and help in one of these spots? So I'm getting ready to wind it down here. And Lord gave me 15 minutes without coughing. But Claudia's going to come and play some background music. And these altars are open. And I don't know if you've noticed, we've got these prayer benches up here. The purpose of those is to meet God. If there's ever a time or place that God is at, it's right here. Now, so I want to open these altars. If you're here and don't know for sure what your eternal address will be, come and let me pray with you. Thank you, Margo. And if you're sure, but you feel God, if you hear that still small voice saying you could help, come up and meet God at an altar. And there doesn't have to be a person there to pray with you. We're more than welcome. We'd love to, but we don't have to be there. So join me in a closing prayer, and then these altars are open. Lord, thank you for your presence here this morning. Lord, I pray these words were straight from your throne for us. Lord, I pray each of us will put this into our heart and our spirit and look deeper how we can serve you better, Lord. I lift up Celebration Church, and I lift every person in this building up to you. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for who you are, for creating us, for giving us salvation, and the hope of eternity spent with you. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here that they would be bold enough to come and accept you this morning. Lord, I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.